Imagine yourself stranded at sea. After a time, your thirst causes you to begin drinking salt water, and all that happens is that you become all the more thirsty. It is often the same with our life here on earth. When we seek happiness in only satisfying ourselves, like a man who drinks salt water in order to slake his thirst, we find ourselves remaining unhappy. Because happiness consists not in thinking about ourselves, but in thinking about others. The Mass is like that. If we go to Mass only seeking to satisfy ourselves, we remain unsatisfied. The Mass only becomes meaningful when we come to Mass expecting to find Christ. Then we find satisfaction. That, after all, the law of love, to be happy is to be thinking about others. I am Father Perricone, and welcome to the most glorious act, our conversations on the Mass.
Throughout time, many attempted to influence the course of the world. From Alexander the Great to Julius Caesar, from Albert Einstein to Madame Curie, they have left their imprint on history. Yet only one man changed the future everywhere, forever. To all he offered eternal life, he was God made man. Today his sacrifice is present in the Most Holy Mass. You too can take part in it.
If you have ever met a person who says to you that the Mass is boring, that's probably a person who has never been in love. It's not surprising. Our culture, you know, no longer spells love as C-H-A-R-I-T-Y. That's what love is. Love is charity. We now have a culture that spells love L-U-V. In our culture, when we love someone, it usually means, or when we love something, is that we are deriving the greatest amount of satisfaction, even though it be temporary and transient, and even though the person or the thing is just left aside. That's the nature of the consumer society that our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, talked about in his beautiful encyclical Centesimus Annus. We have to be careful of being consumerists, that is, so becoming attached to things that we cannot help but treat people even as things. Of course, when we look at a person as a thing, we deny their value. We look at them only in terms of the satisfaction that comes to me. This is the culture of death. This is the culture which looks upon everything in its domain as only useful to my satisfaction, to my self-indulgence. And I literally destroy anything that comes in the way of that indulgence. That is the culture of death, to the point where even little babies are exterminated, because they might have been an unfortunate accident of the pursuit of my choices, of my loves. This is a sad situation that we are in, this culture of death, this consumer society. It makes us incapable of giving ourselves to others, giving ourselves to pursuits, even of high art. That culture of death closes off our mind, and it closes off our hearts. You might have remembered the wonderful book written by Dr. Alan Bloom. It caused a great sensation about 11 years ago. He was a faculty member at the University of Chicago, a very prominent atheist. He wrote a book about education called The Closing of the American Mind, How Our Students Are Losing Their Souls. An atheist. Talking about the closing of the mind to truth leads to the shrinking of the soul to a kind of living death. You see, this is not the meaning of love, but it seems to be all that our culture is aware of. And no wonder sometimes even a Catholic may feel that contamination and actually think that when he comes to Mass, if he's not being somehow entertained or somehow indulged, he's not getting anything out of it. Not realizing that love is giving ourselves to someone. The closing of the American mind, the closing of the human soul to truth and to love. No wonder in our culture we have the highest rate of teenage suicide than any other place on earth. We can't understand why. After all, our parents give their children everything. This country has the highest per capita income than anywhere in the world. We've almost erased poverty. As a matter of fact, the central problem among the poor these days is obesity. What is wrong? Children are killing themselves because they have nothing to live for. Not even an education can they find because all their teachers are giving them is self-esteem and not self-discipline in the pursuit of truth. The United States of America also has as its highest growing drug Prozac. How can it be? This most prosperous, most sophisticated, most educated society the world has ever known are always depressed. They're always sad. According to the contemporary calculus of the culture of death of the consumer society, that should never have been. But it is. And no wonder it's even touched some Catholics who expect to go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and find a supermarket rather than the sacrifice. Mother Church teaches us about love, about charity, about charity at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass by bringing us to Calvary. There she teaches us that the whole way that we find happiness, the only way we open our hearts and our minds, is to think not about ourselves, but to think about the other. The Mass is concerned with bringing us to Christ, making us think about Christ, love Christ, at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We look at him there at Mass and remember that the Mass is Calvary. And what did he do on Calvary? He gave everything to the Father to glorify him. And he gave everything to the Father because the Father wanted him to have everything for us. He kept nothing for himself. St. Thomas Aquinas says in the part of the Summa Theologiae that deals with the Passion of Christ, that more important than the physical suffering that our Savior endured on Calvary for our sake was the interior oblation or handing over of his will to his Father for our sake. That is the meaning of the Mass, that our Lord gives everything to us. He surrenders his will in Gethsemane. He prays to his Heavenly Father that this cup may pass. But not that my will be done, but thine. And don't we pray that in the Our Father, not only at Mass, but every single day, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is heaven? Heaven is praising the Trinity, where we think no longer about ourselves, but only about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is called beatific. It is called ecstasy. That is the meaning of the Mass. It is about our Lord giving himself to the Father and giving everything to us, but we must give everything back to him. It sometimes may appear hard for us, because we cannot help but be a part of our own society, our own culture. And that culture leaves much to be desired. The best of us need to be reminding ourselves that there's always that tug leading us to love ourselves, leading us to not want to give of ourselves to Christ. And when we don't give ourselves to him, we can't give ourselves to others. A clear sign of that inability to love, a clear sign that perhaps our souls, our hearts, and our minds are closing, is when we begin to think that we find the Mass boring. The Mass is not boring. It is the most exciting adventure of love that men have here on earth. And that's what we must keep in mind, always, so that our hearts may always, more and more, every day, be opened. Christ opens them. And once our hearts are opened by Christ, once we allow him to pour into our hearts, then we can understand the joy and the oblation of a Mother Teresa, of a Blessed Padre Pio, of the St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, of the St. Joan of Arc, where their surrender of everything becomes effortless because love is so natural for them. Giving of themselves to others is precisely what their life is about. The culture of death, the consumer society, it's something we have to be constantly avoiding. But first with ourselves. When that work is done, then we could begin to help others with the work of their lives. When we come to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and are giving ourselves to our Lord in the hope of loving him supremely as he loves us supremely, then we begin to find that we can change society. We can begin to change others, our family, our friends. Love is irresistible. We have a desire to join in Christ's sacrifice of love as we see him loving his Father and loving us. But at the moment we do, something extraordinary happens. For that, please come back after the break.
Daily prayer to the Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart of Jesus, today I wish to live in you, in your grace, in which I desire at all costs to persevere. Keep me from sin and strengthen my will by helping me to keep watch over my senses, my imagination, and my heart. Help me to correct my faults, which are the source of sin. I beg you to do this, O Jesus. Through Mary, your Immaculate Mother. Amen.
One of the nicest compliments that we can receive is one someone says about us. They have a lovely personality. What is a personality? The personality has to do with a person's character. And that character is reflected in everything we do, especially in how we deal with others, how we react to certain situations. We admire people of courageous personality and character because they're not willing to think of themselves when someone else needs them. We greatly love to be with people who have a generous and expansive personality. It means that by their very manner, they are welcoming and ingratiating to us. They take us into their company, into their affections, quickly, without problem. How is character formed? Oh, modern psychology has all kinds of theories about how character comes about, and theories about personalities and dysfunctional personalities and the like. But I'm about to tell you the secret of where a true, wonderful personality comes from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Dr. Dietrich von Hildebrand, a very long time ago, originally a philosopher in Germany, then came here and taught at Fordham University until his death about 15 years ago. Of all the things he wrote, his most beautiful work was entitled Liturgy and Personality. He devotes the whole book to examining how the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass develops men into the personalities that bring them peace and that bring others joy. How does that happen? That happens because Christ takes over their personality. He takes over their personality in the way that St. Paul tells us, it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. He doesn't steal our personality. He fills it. He perfects it. He makes it better. He is able to transform it to be all that it ever was. And that happens through the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Gradually. If we go to Mass every day, or even every Sunday, and if we are sufficiently open to Christ, to meeting Him, to loving Him, to serving Him at that moment, without thinking of ourselves, He changes us. Everything changes. The senses, the intelligence, the heart, the soul. God touches everything, as only God could. Look at how it changed St. Thomas the Apostle. We have that wonderful communion hymn, Anima Christi, the soul of Christ, and there is one wonderful line when it says, in thy wounds, Savior, hide me. By that we are praying that by entering into the wounds of Christ, and we only do that at Mass, He is hiding us and He is changing us. Like St. Thomas, doubting that our Lord was appearing to the apostles, only convinced when he knelt before Christ and our Lord allowed him to put his finger in his side and the holes of his hands, and Thomas was never the same again. Suddenly, Saint Thomas was on his way to becoming a saint because his personality was changed by Christ. He found his personality. That is exactly what happens to us at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Little by little, in ways that are sometimes even imperceptible to us, probably only seen by others, certainly our Father Confessor, sanctifying grace touches every fiber of our being. We find ourselves changed. I had a seminarian friend who once told me that his father was a very greedy man, and in the early part of his marriage, he was an adulterer. When he saw that his son went into the seminary, he started attending Holy Mass every day. His son saw that something changed in his father. His father, who would become angry so quickly, was becoming more pleasant. He no longer had wandering eyes. Most of all, he saw the change in a generosity that his father never had before. It wasn't sudden. It was ever so subtle. But he changed. What changed him? What gave him a new personality? A more vibrant personality? Christ. All those quiet moments at early Mass, kneeling and adoring our Lord at the elevation of the Sacred Host and the chalice, all those moments when he went to the altar rail to receive our Lord in Holy Communion and made his private thanksgiving. Oh, he didn't think anything was happening. And probably the people who knew he was going to daily Mass didn't think anything was happening, but something was happening. He was changing. Oh, he had the same sense of humor, sometimes even a little bit of ribald humor. But he was changed. We change. if we allow our Lord the permission to change us. And that only happens at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That is where personality is created. That is where we take upon ourselves the kind of character, the way, the manner that makes others want so much to be saints. That brings us to the properties that constitute the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. This is the teaching of the Catholic Church. We should dwell on it for a moment. Those properties are: the Mass is Christian. It is social. It is hierarchical. It is holy. And it is infallible. What do those properties mean? We all remember from a philosophy class that a property is a characteristic that always is in something necessarily. So those characteristics, those properties I've just talked to you about, are always there, marking what the Mass is. You probably have already gathered what they mean. The Mass is Christian. It has to do with Christ. The Mass is Christ. It is our Lord's sacrifice on Calvary. And while there may be beautiful ceremonies sometimes attached to it, and they are necessary because we are not angels but men and need to see beautiful things, we can't ever forget that the heart of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is our Lord Himself. The Mass, therefore, is Christian. The Mass is social. The Mass is social because when our Lord died on Calvary, after He had instituted the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, every time a Mass is celebrated anywhere in the globe, it is affecting me and you. Right now, no matter where we are, if we feel the effect of some kind of graces, it is probably because that is the power of the Mass being celebrated somewhere in the world, and we are feeling its effects. We are part of the mystical body of Christ. That makes us social beings. We are one with each other because we are one with Christ. The Mass affects that social dimension of our life, the deepest dimension of sociability. Thirdly, the Mass is hierarchical. Every human body has a head and all the other parts. The head is the most important part. It guides everything else. And so in the mystical body of Christ, the head, Christ, and His visible head, the Pope, are the ones that guide everything regarding the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which is the reason why we don't have the right to get together and decide how the Mass will go, to change this and subtract that. The Mass is not the work of a committee. The Mass is the work of Christ. The Mass is hierarchical. That is the reason why there is a distinction between where the priest is in the sanctuary, the place of the holy, and where the laity are, the faithful, and the nave, the place where those who are working themselves to heaven with Christ's assistance are. And there's a separation. The Mass is hierarchical. The Mass is holy. Not only is the Mass holy because it has to do with Christ, who is perfect holiness, but it is holy because it produces in you and me holiness. And therefore, everything that touches the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass has to be holy. The chalice the priest uses is consecrated, set aside for holy purposes. The priest vests in the cassock before he comes to the altar, because this is important for holiness. And finally, the Mass is infallible. Infallible because it gives you and I all the doctrines of the Church that are necessary for our salvation. And they are there in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass in a way that is without mistake. After one of his musical successes, Mozart wrote to his sister, "I went home immediately after the production of my symphony at the Palais Royal with the greatest gladness in my heart and recited the rosary. Not only did prayer give the great masters their proper inspiration, but they also realized that the highest prayer, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, obligated them to a kind of music quite different and special from all others, because it has a unique purpose to glorify God and uplift man, to bring a man into the world of the holy. In that place there can be nothing profane and secular that is of this world or any of its associations, small or banal. All must be grand so as to properly lead us to the grand act of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. Please join me next time for the most glorious act, our conversations on the Mass. Till then, God bless you.